Lesson for this morning, and what I'll be doing this morning is look on what I would call an introduction to the lesson that most likely will be preached next week Sunday, if God is willing. That is, the lesson surrounds the passage of Romans chapter 9, and from about verse 15 through 18 that was read this morning. We ask that the passage be read again. And we ask that when you reach verse 17, that it be read over.
For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might shew my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will harden. He will hardeneth. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom will he hardeneth.
In Romans chapter 9, chapter 10, and chapter 11, three chapters, the inspired Apostle Paul is continuing or expanding on his argument or his teaching that he started in chapter 1 and 2. I repeat. Now, because we have the Bible now in verses and chapters and whatever, sometimes we miss the end argument. We miss what the inspired writer is emphasizing. So when you and I read Romans chapter 9, of course chapter 10 continues the same reasoning. Chapter 11 continue the same reasoning. It's just that in chapter 9, 10, and 11, he picks up, or rather he's expanding on what he started in chapter 1 and 2, and that is on the fact that God's everlasting salvation for man is by grace. And you said, that's nothing new. That's right. Watch here. Not only is it by grace, but his argument is that God's rejection of Israel. You see, Romans is about that God had reached the point where he rejected the greater part of the Israelite nation because They fail to acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So, Paul is here pointing out that God's everlasting salvation for man is based on faith and on God's grace. And that God's rejection of Israel, who were seeking salvation by works, and God's receiving the Gentiles, who welcome salvation by faith, does not make God unjust. That is, he's trying to show the Israelite that when God opened the door of salvation to the Gentile, which was God's plan, and when the Almighty God rejected the greater part of the Israelite people because they rejected Christ, he's trying to show them that God was still just and righteous. Look at chapter 9, verse 14.
What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God?
Wait, you see, that he reached the point now where when Paul, wherever you see Paul, use the statement, what shall I say then, or what shall I say? He's usually addressing the objection of the detractor. You find that statement throughout his writing. And you find that statement quite a few times in Romans. What shall I say then? He is looking at how the objector see things. What shall I say then? Is there
unrighteousness with God?
Why this came up? Because God, through men like Paul, was telling the Israelite that God had rejected them because they failed to acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And that God had opened the door to the Gentiles. So the Israelites begin to wonder, well, if God has done that, God must be unjust. Read not only 14 finish.
God forbid.
God forbid. That is, God is not unjust. Step down to 30 through 33.
What shall we say then?
Mm-hmm.
That the Gentiles which followed not after righteousness have attained to righteousness.
The Gentiles which follow not after righteousness have obtained.
Have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith.
Now, he had, Brother Webb, he had to tell how they got this righteousness. It's by faith. You see, the Gentiles who live their disobedient life, they are the one who obtained the righteousness by faith. Read on.
But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness.
That's right. Israel, whom God guided down through history, they have not obtained the righteousness that comes from the gospel. Read on.
Wherefore? Because they sought it not.
When it says wherefore, mean how comes they did not obtain the righteousness? Why? Because
they sought it not by faith.
Brother Webb, we'll be coming back to that point, that we must make sure that we see God's righteousness God's way. Now, I should be preaching a sermon just by that statement or that question. How comes Israel did not obtain the righteousness which they seek so much? The Holy Spirit tells us here, it was dependent on how they went about seeking righteousness.
Yeah.
I'll be coming back to that. Now, brothers and sisters, somebody asked Brother Mitchell, well, how Moses and Pharaoh fit into this? Because the brothers just read verse 14, and I asked him to read verse 30 following. But we skip verse 15, 16, 17. Let us hear those verses.
For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then, it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth
mercy. That's another important statement. Hopefully in this segment of the lesson, I will make a few statements on that. Read on, brother.
For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh.
Here again, Pharaoh, what do they have with the Israelite of Paul's time, of Christ's time? Moses and Pharaoh was some 1,400 in the past. Well, why? What they have to do with the Israelite of Paul and Christ's time who rejected the gospel? For he said to Pharaoh,
even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might shew my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all
ladies
the earth.
Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, Moses and Pharaoh are brought in to show that God does not or did not act unjustly or unrighteously in the exercising of his sovereign choice. Repeat that, Brother Mitchell. Thank you for asking me. Why Moses and Pharaoh are just brought in to illustrate a point. They are not the subject under consideration. Their story and how God dealt with them. Wait. On the part of Moses, God dealt with Moses on the principle of grace. On the part of Pharaoh, God dealt with Pharaoh on the principle of judgment. Paul is showing the Jews of his time that in both cases, God acted justly and righteously. The way he dealt with Pharaoh and the way he dealt with Moses. You see, all of this had to do with the Jews of Christ's time. The Jews of Paul's time who rejected Jesus Christ as Savior and the gospel as their only hope. Now, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen. Now, the reference, get me here. The reference to Moses is found in the book of Exodus chapter 33. We'll be reading a few verses because it's important that we get the point. And the reference to Pharaoh is in Exodus chapter 9 and verse 16, where Paul just quotes a verse or two, or a line or two, to illustrate the truth that whatever way God acts with man, God is always holy and just and righteous. And we must get that too. In fact, I remind you, did God, Brother Mitchell, he led or cast the Egyptian to go in the sea and drown and destroy them. Did God acted justly? when God hardens Pharaoh's heart. You see, that part of the lesson is what the whole lesson is about. But we will not get to that until next week. What God did to the Egyptian and the holiness and the righteousness and the justice of God. In fact, that's the major part of the lesson. What I'm discussing this morning is just to help us understand that whenever as of now you read the book of Hebrews chapter 9, chapter 10, chapter 11, you will be in a better position to put who and what in their proper perspective to understand the passage better. Why? Exodus chapter 3, verse 9. Why? Exodus 9, 16. That is, Moses and Pharaoh are referred to because of their relevance and application to the case at hand. What was the case at hand? That is, the present rejection of the Israelite by God and cutting them off from the privileges and the blessing of the gospel while inviting the Gentiles to share this privilege. That is the argument at hand. That's what the passage is dealing with. Moses, in both Moses and Pharaoh, God acted purely out of and on the basis of his divine sovereignty. God acted purely and out of or on the basis of his grace, and acted purely out of and on the basis of his judgment, not upon any claim or objection placed on God by man. That's right. When the Almighty God, well, let's look at it. Let's look at it. Now, chapter 33, he quoted from 33:19. Let us hear it.
And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will shew mercy on whom I will shew mercy.
This is God speaking. Listen it again.
And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will shew mercy on whom I will shew mercy.
This is what Paul picks up in Romans. Watch here now, watch here now. Let us get the background out of which this was said by God to Moses. Jonathan, either you or Brother Webb, have chapter 32 ready. Because in a few minutes we are going to ask that you read verse 21, verse 30 and 31. The situation in about 1,400, 300 before Jesus Christ, the situation out of which the Almighty God said this was, watch here now, when Moses had gone up into the hill to receive the Ten Commandments, and by the time Moses and Joshua returned, they saw the Israelite worshiping a golden calf. That's right. It does not take men and women long to turn to their own way. And that's a warning to us. Moses went up for less than 2 months. And my God, by the time he returned, after the Almighty God had demonstrated his power, dividing the Red Sea, destroying Pharaoh and his army, led them through the Red Sea, fed them with angel food, they quickly forsake God. We do not act differently today. So the Almighty God was mad and upset. Look at chapter 32, verse 21.
And Moses said unto Aaron.
And Moses said to Aaron.
What did this people unto thee?
Did they walk up upon you? In other words, brothers and sisters, you know, it's unfortunate when we church leaders become a part of the wrong disrespect for God's word. It's unfortunate. Aaron should not have been a part of that. People built a golden calf, and Aaron was there helping them. So Moses said to his brother Aaron, what did these people do to you? Read, brother.
That thou hast brought so great a sin upon.
You notice how the sin is described? So great a sin. Now that's verse 21. Step to verse 30.
And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses said unto the people, ye have sinned a great sin.
You notice again? We have sinned a great sin. We're talking about idolatry. Where men push God one side and worship that which is created by their own hands. A lot of times the things that keep you and me or whoever from worship becomes our idol. Because many of us easily can push God and worship that is his do one side and let things that can wait keep us away from what is due to God. So Moses in chapter 32 verse 30, what he said?
And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses said unto the people, ye have sinned a great sin.
We have sinned a great sin.
And now I will go up unto the Lord.
I will go to the Almighty God.
Peradventure.
Perhaps.
I shall make an atonement for your sin.
That is, perhaps God will be merciful to us. What verse is that?
At the end of 30.
Read 31.
And Moses returned unto the Lord and said,
now he's talking to God.
Oh, this people have sinned a great sin.
Here again, it's not these people have sinned. There was always that qualifying word to tell you that the sin was terrible. You see, great sin. So this is the background. Watch here, no, I'm not through. We want to, why did the Almighty God, I will be merciful upon those I will be merciful. Why did Paul find it relevant to apply to the present situation that he faced with the Jews? Because after Moses prayed to God, watch here, God told Moses, I will be merciful. I will forgive the Israelites. Wait. By this time, you know, God had commanded Moses to kill about 3,000 of the Israelites. That's right. So, you see, to kill them with the sword. Because of this sin. But what you know, Moses was afraid, and rightly so. He was afraid that the Almighty God was so mad that God probably was leading them to destroy them further on. So Moses, when the Almighty God gave the assurance that he had forgiven them, Moses, in chapter 33, on a wrong verse, chapter 33, verse 16.
For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight?
You get the point? You get the point. Well, even though you get it, let me explain. Moses wants to know how. You say you forgive us. How are we going to know? You see, it's continuing the journey to the promised land because the sin of idolatry was so grievous. Moses was afraid that somewhere along the way God was going to wipe us out. Moses wanted assurance from God. How shall we know that we have found grace in your sight? You have just told us that you forgive us, but give us something more tangible. Read on, brother.
Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing.
Wait, remember what we are coming from here. Moses wanted assurance from God that they were in fact forgiven, and that God would still work with them and bring them to the promised land. Moses was concerned that the consequence of their sin lingers. He asked God for assurance, and God says, I will
do this thing also that thou hast spoken. For thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And he said, I beseech thee, shew me thy glory.
Moses wants assurance. So Moses says, I beg you, God, show me your characteristic, your glory. Moses, it's like you have a life sentence hanging over your head because of some wrong you do, but it's in the power of a person not to press charge. That's right. And the person is about to walk away, and you're not sure if when you go to your house tonight, the police is going to come and take you to jail. It depends on that person. So you ask the person, could you give me something in writing? That's right. That Moses says, show me your characteristic, your glory. I need assurance. Read, brother.
And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee.
This is God speaking, you know.
And will be gracious to
Watch you now. This is the statement. I will be
gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will shew mercy on whom I will shew mercy. And he said,
Wait. What the Almighty God is saying in that statement is that showing mercy and graciousness is not dependent on anything you Israelite did. That is the point. And that's why Paul brought it. Let's run back to what verse you stopped there, brother?
19.
Well, let's run back to Romans chapter 9. And verse 17, 18, somewhere there, or 15, wherever.
For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion.
May I? This was relevant to what Paul was trying to show the Jews of his time, that the mercy and the grace of God is not dependent on anything man does. It's always totally dependent on God's own graciousness and mercy and sovereignty. And well, how comes this? Well, I come back to what I've said to you. It was the fact that the Jews don't believe God had any right to cut off so many of them from his grace and mercy. And they feel like God didn't have any right to show mercy and grace to the Gentile. It's like Paul is saying, it's not for you Jews to dictate to God. You have no right. God could have wiped you out, you Jews, if he wanted. Because all have sinned. None, Jews, Gentile, have any claim or any right on God. So when he brought up, wait. When he brought up, on one hand, he brought up Moses, an Israelite, as an example of God's grace. On the other hand, he brought up Pharaoh and the Egyptian as an example of God's judgment. But you know, he's saying in both cases, God was acting on his graciousness, his sovereignty, and his judgment. And in none of those cases, was God unjust or unholy. Brothers and sisters, wait, you are in Romans chapter 9. Step down again to verse 30 and 33.
What shall we say then? That the Gentiles which followed not after righteousness have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. But Israel which followed after the law of righteousness hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore?
How comes Israel did not attain righteousness?
Because they sought it not by faith.
And brothers and sisters, Christian, members of the body of Christ, this is a good passage to remember. Because what he's saying, when he asks the question, wherefore, it means why. How comes Israel did not achieve or reach or attain the righteousness which they sought? That wherefore mean, why not? How comes? Why did they fail? He's telling you here.
Because they sought it not by faith.
Are we there, brothers and sisters? Because Israel did not seek righteousness God's way. Members of the body of Christ, we have a responsibility to enlighten men. Remember this passage. Why remember it, Brother Mitchell? No man, no church, no denomination will ever be saved the way they like. No church, no man, no woman, no denomination will ever get salvation the way they choose. No man, no church, no denomination will ever get salvation, eternal salvation, the way that appeals to them. Because salvation going to be had, that is eternal salvation going to be had one way, and that is God's way. The passage, Israel attain not unto the salvation they seek. And Paul answered the question. You see, he's still dealing with the fact that God had to reject the larger portion of the Israelite people. Why? Because they were seeking salvation by the works of the law. That is their way. That appeals to them. They like that. They were brought up in that system. They believe there's no way God can abolish that system. God had abolished that system. And we must learn from this that no man or woman will ever be saved seeking salvation based upon what they like, based upon what they choose, based upon what appeals to them. Because that, what we want, what we like, what appeals to us, does not come in the picture. It is all God's choice. Make sure you seek salvation God's way. So in both Moses and Pharaoh, God acted purely out of and on the basis of his divine sovereignty, out of and on the basis of his grace, out of and on the basis of his judgment. And I repeat, God did not act upon any claim or demand that man makes up, made upon him. In Exodus, you don't have to go back there. Chapter 33, when the Almighty God said to Moses that he will be gracious unto whom he will be gracious. That means I will be gracious to whom I want to be gracious. I will be merciful to whom I want to be merciful. When the Almighty God said that to Moses, it's like God was saying to Moses, because I have forgiven you, the Israelites, you all must not misinterpret that. When the Almighty God in Romans, in this passage, told Moses that, and by extension, said the same thing to us, he was telling us that his grace to man was not due to any claim, any right on the part of man. It was not due to any goodness in man. In chapter 9, verse 16, let us hear that. Verse 16, Paul explained that God, verse 16.
So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy.
I like that. Read that again. You see, all of this is the misconception of the Jews that God cannot be righteous if he reject them. And how could God include the Gentiles and reject the Jews? Paul must be wrong. Paul just brought in Moses and Pharaoh to show them that God had acted like that already. Verse 16 again as we wrap up, brother.
So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy.
You get that? And what Paul is saying here is that God's grace and mercy is not a response to human resolve. Him that willeth. That is referring to human resolve. That's what we want. That's what we are going to work at. Paul is saying God's mercy is not dependent on human resolve. He's also saying that God's grace and mercy is not dependent on human effort. He that runneth. You see, Paul is saying, all the effort man puts in does not solicit God's grace. God's grace is dependent on God's will and on God's graciousness alone. Next week, well, first, as we wrap up, first, I hope I will remember to say more on this next week. The entire passage, the entire text is dealing with one, human pride and human disobedience to God. The entire text. Because what the entire text is showing, in the case of Moses and the Israelite, when the Almighty God said to Moses, I will show mercy to whom I want to show mercy, etc., etc. The Almighty God, in effect, was saying to Moses, you and the Israelite have not done anything to solicit my grace. When the Almighty God dealt so severely with Pharaoh, Paul was saying, God acted justly also. He had the right because of his sovereign power. But look at Exodus, last passage, chapter 9, verse 17.
As yet exaltest thou thyself against my people.
Remember, in closing, the entire text, what Paul is showing from Romans chapter 1 and 2 right back to chapter 11 is how human pride and disobedience can retard our eternal welfare. And we talk about God. Look what God did to the Israelite. Look how God hardens Pharaoh's heart. Next week we'll hear more in respect to who hardened who. Very important. Who hardened who? Anyway, that's right. But pride is a part of the equation here. Disobedience to God's directive is also the other point from which we are to learn. What he said there in chapter 9, verse 17.
As yet exaltest thou thyself against.
That is, you still continue to show pride against my will, exaltest as yet exalted
thou thyself against my people
that thou wilt not let them go. What God is hitting at here is Pharaoh's pride, out of which comes his disobedience. Next week also in the lesson we will learn that God's word never returned to him void. It's like God says, follow this path and the blessing will be yours. God need not tell you of the alternative. The alternative is usually automatically built in. That's right. I'll be speaking more about that next week. When God says, take this path because this is the path I want you to go. Don't disobey God. Don't let pride and ignorance and blindness cause you. You know, so many things here. It's hard for you to kick against the pricks. When the mule or the horse, the donkey were pulling the cart and they don't want to go and they kick, there was some spike there that stick them. So every time they kick, they were the one who got hurt. We can't fight against God. Truly. Truly. So next week, don't miss the lesson in respect to what did God say to Pharaoh. Much to learn from. This week's lesson was meant to set the stage. That is the foundation. So that when the Almighty God in next week spoke to Pharaoh about, for this very reason, I preserve you or place you on the stage of history. What reason? We beg that you be here next week and bring some friends and relative with you. There might just be something to help them to see their need for Christ. But today we are here. We don't sure about next week. If you are here today, you will at least take away from this lesson that God has a sovereign right to deal with any man, any woman the way he chooses. You know why? All have sinned. None. No man, no woman has any claim on God. To say to God, you cannot do this to me, God. You cannot permit this to happen. No man or woman, because all of us have sinned. But the Almighty God is gracious, and the Almighty God wants to show grace to you by inviting you to come and give your life to Jesus Christ. How do you do that? Through faith, through repentance from sin, through confessing Christ's name as God's Son, and through baptizing for the removal of your sin. You can do that right now. That's why God brought you here this morning to listen to this lesson. Remember, I told you, flowing through the dealing with Pharaoh the Israelite, pride and disobedience. Don't disobey God. Obey him this morning in faith, in repentance, confessing Christ's name and baptism. We stand as we sing. It's a chance for you to step forward and give Jesus.